Rohingya refugees who fled into Bangladesh from Myanmar have suffered an unprecedented level of barbarity, according to the head of the UN's Office on Genocide Prevention. Adama Dieng was speaking at the end of a nearly week-long visit to meet some of the 600,000-plus refugees forced to flee their homes in Rakhine State and elsewhere as a result of systematic violence orchestrated by the authorities in Myanmar. He outlined horrifying stories describing the exodus since last August as a human tragedy that demanded immediate action by the international community. He spoke to Rima Baza on the line from Bangladesh.
Well, what I have heard is something which is really horrible, and I wish this will never be repeated. I can tell you, for instance, one of the refugees, who is a woman about 35 years old, I mean, she was saying to me that she doesn't know if she should be grateful to be alive or miserable, as she lost the rest 21 members of her family. She told me that the army killed the men at once and took them, the woman, inside the house, kept them as their hostage. And they raped many women by dragging them out of the camp. And later at night, they put fire on the house. And most women died in their sleep, and a few of them ran outside crossing dead bodies on the open field. She kept running with burn wounds on her body towards the dark forest. And in the morning, she said the military came back only to find ashes. She fell asleep in the forest, woke up again at night. She kept walking through the hills, and 7 days passed with no food, water, and medicine. She couldn't even spare a moment to grieve for her lost family. And while in hiding, she found more people like her. And together they worked and then took a boat near the Bangladeshi border with the help of a Maji. And then they reached the Baluhali border, and they were quickly rushed to the medical camp. And allow me here to say that I very much appreciate the work which is being done by the UNICEF staff on the ground for these children I have met. These children who some of them are still carrying wounds. I can tell you, for instance, the images of this young boy who received a bullet on his penis. I mean, this is simply horrible. I haven't seen such a level of barbarity. And there is another one who also was just coming a week ago, which means that the violence in Myanmar is still continuing, even though the intensity is certainly lower than it was before. But what they described was that the civilians were beaten. They were threatened. They were asked, leave, this is not your country. And worse, they were also subjected to starvation. And I wonder, why are we going to stay that long and without rescuing these people who have been described as the most persecuted group around the world?
Mr. Dieng, you've said that what you've witnessed and heard in Cox's Bazar is a human tragedy with the fingerprints of the Myanmar government and the international community. What do you mean by that?
The Myanmar government has the primary responsibility to protect its population, and it has failed. The persecution they have been facing is not date for yesterday. This has been for many decades. And how can we, 70 years after the adoption of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, allow such a thing to happen, allow the dehumanization? Following the Second World War, the world cried never again.
And you mentioned that you issued numerous warnings regarding this specific situation, but no one listened. Why do you think? What's the reason for that?
Well, as you may, I will not try to find any reason for inaction. But what I can say is that there has been indication that, well, we have to be very careful. Burma was ruled by a military dictatorship, and even the lady who was being perceived as the champion of democracy put under house arrest.
Aung San Suu Kyi, you mean Ms. Aung San Suu Kyi?
Exact. And following finally many years of pressure and quiet diplomacy as well, they managed to have elections. But as you know, the constitution of Myanmar today still leaves room for the military. And we know that these military still have control, and which to some extent means that even Aung San Suu Kyi doesn't have the real power in her hands. But still, this is not a reason. We cannot say that if we push too much, the military will take again the full control of the situation. A choice has to be made. Either we privilege saving lives of thousands of people or protecting a de facto democracy.
The information that you have and what you've seen show that international crimes were committed in Myanmar. But right now, what's the way forward and what are the necessary steps to move ahead?
What I said is very clear. International crimes were committed in Myanmar, period. The Rohingya Muslims have been killed, have been tortured, raped, burned alive and humiliated simply because of who they are. And all the information I received indicates clearly that the intent of the perpetrators was to cleanse northern Rakhine state of their existence, possibly even to destroy the Rohingya as such, I mean as a group, which if proven, and I insist, if proven, would constitute the crime of genocide. And I think it will be, of course, for an appropriate court of justice to make a final determination in this regard.